than thunder, stronger than the seas, softer than velvet, robed in majesty. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, creation shouts your name. Forever you're the same. Your love is higher, higher than the skies. It's deeper, deeper than the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors. If only we could see, it would be amazing beyond our wildest dreams. Swifter than a river, tamer than a stream, brighter than any star, bigger than anything. Creator of the universe, you are the God who sees. You know when a sparrow falls, and you care about me. Your love is higher, higher than the skies. It's deeper, deeper, and the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors. If only we could see, it would be amazing beyond our wildest dreams. Your love is higher, higher than the skies. It's deeper, deeper than the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors. If only we could see, it would be amazing beyond our wildest dreams. Your love is high. He is mightier than thunder. Within your wings, let me hide myself. Within your wings, there is shelter, comfort, and strength. When the of life come crashing in, and I will rest within your wings. Unfailing love, hold on to me. Unfailing love, to you I cling. I'll even see, and I will rest within your wings. Within your wings, let me hide myself. Within your wings, there is shelter, comfort, and strength. When the I will rest within your wings. Unfailing love, hold on to me. Unfailing love, to you I cling. With my last breath I'll even breath I'll even see. I will rest within your wings, and I will rest within your wings. Heavenly Father, some of us here are so tired. It feels like we've taken our last step. God, would you just come and just fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your sweet, sweet Spirit, Lord. Some of us are empty, Lord. Would you just pour into us your goodness and your mercy. Some of us are at our wits' end, dear God. Would you just come and just work out those things? Because we've made a mess of it. But God, you can do it. And as we rest within your wings, Lord, we trust in you.
Your name, Jesus, your name.
to seek the Lord today for salvation from His hand, for the healing of our land. Let us pray. Your prayer. For sin we repent, O Lord. We believe your holy word. Have mercy now, we pray. Take all our sins.
Oh, Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Truly, our hope is in you, Father God. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. We are grateful for your mercy. Oh, Lord, we are grateful for your forgiveness, for your cleansing, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I can't help but to lift before you our nation today. Lord, this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, I guess I just thinking about all that our country has been through, all that you have brought us through, all that you have protected us from. And yet as a nation, Lord, we're not as connected with you as we once were. Lord, forgive us. God, forgive us as a people, as a nation. Forgive us. Lord, your word tells us to pray for those that are in charge, so we do that this morning. We lift up all of those, Lord, from mayors to governors to representatives to senators to our president. Lord, we bring them before you this morning. Pray that you would speak to them. Pray that you would clearly direct them. Pray that you would bring them wisdom and understanding. Lord, pray that they would lead this nation the way you want it led. Lord, I pray that we would, as a nation, get on our knees once again. Humble ourselves before you, Father. Lord, that we would surrender to you. Allow your will to be done in our country, in us personally, in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, help us to be the people you want us to be. Lord, there are many personal needs I bring before you this morning as well. Father, I think of Rich at home, recuperating from his corneal transplant. Lord, minister to him. Speak to him. Heal him. Lord, we are so grateful and we give you praise for the good news that he's shared with us so far. Pray that you would just continue to minister to him and strengthen him. Lord, this morning we think of Carmen heading in for surgery this week. Lord, speak to her. Lord, let your hedge of protection be about her. Lord, be the hands of the surgeons, Father God. Lord, direct them in every move that they make. We thank you for them. We thank you for their expertise, but it's in you we trust, Lord. I pray that you would just speak to her and minister to her through all of this. Lord, we lift Heather up to you this morning. Father, as she slipped and fell, we just bring her before you and pray that you would take away any pain or injury, Lord, that you would minister to her and bring healing and wholeness to her body completely, head to toe, Lord. Heal her and make her whole, Father. Lord, we think of Brittany's niece this morning who fell and broke her elbow. Lord, would you speak to her? Would you heal her elbow? Lord, take away the pain and the discomfort. Lord, encourage her. Lord, so many that are not here because they're sick in body. Lord, would you just touch them? Would you breathe on them, Lord? Let your Holy Spirit just cover them and bring wholeness to their lives, Father God. I thank you that we can bring all these things before you, Lord. I thank you that you care about every little one of these details, that you hear our prayer. Lord, we give you praise for that today. We lift all these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. First of all, thank you for coming and hope you have a very happy Memorial Day weekend. I mean, that's what we are celebrating this particular weekend, is Memorial Day. In case you don't know it, this weekend, this Memorial Day, was designed to remember those who paid the ultimate price for America's freedom. We have expanded the celebration of Memorial Day a little bit, but that's really its purpose, is to remember and honor those who sacrificed their lives so that we can be here today, so that we can be free today, so that we can have all the liberties that we have. While this weekend is specifically about remembering those, I do want to take a moment to honor all of our military today. I know we have at least one active duty here, but would all of you that are veterans or active stand up for a minute this morning, please? We want to honor you and your service to our country this morning. Thank you. Thank you all very much for your willingness to serve and defend this nation that we so love, this place we so cherish. We are indeed blessed to have you and all the other men and women that are serving and protecting our country. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you didn't hear that, thank you. Well, just like Mother's Day, we are not going to have a special message this morning. I hope you are all okay with that. We are going to continue our journey on our spiritual gifts. We've been talking about this now, honestly, from pretty much the beginning of 2024. We started talking about love and agape love, which is the backbone to spiritual gifts. And since then, we have been walking through every single one of the spiritual gifts that are listed in Scripture. So this has been a long journey, and we still have more to go. So please don't fall asleep on me. All right, we're going to take another step this morning. In fact, we're going to look at really two spiritual gifts this morning. And we're going to do that because these two gifts really pretty much work hand in hand. They go together. Often, but through different individuals, but they go together. They work with one another. Kind of like when we talked about wisdom and knowledge. Again, if you've missed any of those previous gifts that we've talked about, head to the website. They are all there under the sermon tab. You can listen to any of them that you happen to miss. The gifts that we're going to embark on today are probably some of the most talked about. There are, if you were to Google and search and look for these, you would have countless returns on your search. I mean, just a huge variety of discussions on these particular gifts. There is no way we would be able to cover all the detail that there is in these two particular gifts today. And honestly, the depth that we would need to go to, really, to try to cover everything in these gifts would take weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and maybe some more weeks. And it would really include some deep, deep study, including some theological study. There's a lot that go into these. So we're going to only cover one little aspect, one little angle, one little perspective this morning. That's all we're going to be able to do as we talk about these two particular gifts. With that in mind, let's read from our text so we know where we're at this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are work in one and the same Spirit, who gives them to each one just as He determines. I'm going to assume by now we probably picked up on what today's gifts are that we're going to be talking about. They would be the idea of speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, first of all, know this. The word tongues, as we see it in Scripture, comes from the Greek word meaning languages or dialect. That's what it means. It's not really talking about the little thing in your mouth that helps you form words. It's talking about languages or dialects, speaking in tongues. So one idea in Scripture, one piece of this, is speaking in tongues is understood as speaking in a human language that you have not studied. And those last two words there, I cannot stress enough, they are key. Speaking in a language that you have not studied. See, many people have learned multiple languages over the years. They've studied the different enunciations. They've studied the different structures. They're able to carry on conversations. And over time, through different study, through different means and materials, they're able to communicate with others in a language beyond what they initially learned or understood. Today, we call them bilingual or trilingual or multilingual in some cases. My nephew is multilingual. He can speak in several languages, including Russian, which I don't know why, but I love the way Russian sounds. So when he's around, I just ask him to talk in Russian. I don't understand it. I just want to hear it. But he speaks in a couple of different languages, and some people have learned to speak that way quite well. But this is one aspect of speaking in tongues, is when the Holy Spirit, who we know is in control of all of these gifts by now, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and the Spirit allows us to speak in a discernible language that we have never studied or spoken. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 5, we read this. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues," or in our own language. That is the Holy Spirit empowering individuals to speak in a language that they have never studied or learned, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is one aspect of speaking in tongues, speaking so that others can hear the gospel message. Again, a common theme you've heard me speak about as we've done this whole journey through the gifts. These gifts are used by the Holy Spirit to minister to people, to encourage people, to change the lives of people, so that the gospel message can continue to be presented to more and more and more people in more and more places in more and more ways. And again, the speaking of tongues to convey the gospel message to others. These individuals, as per Scripture, were not simply speaking just to carry on the conversation. They were not saying, hey, how you doing, or making some other small talk. They were presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were sharing the message of truth with thousands of people that had gathered in that city. No translators, no interpreters, just the powerful working of the Holy Spirit through average, ordinary men and women. Remember, we've kind of talked about that pretty much these last few weeks. These were average, ordinary people. We get so hung up on the fact that they were individuals in the Bible or individuals in the gospel. They must be special in some way. No, they were just people, not any different than you or I. They would talk the same way. They would get dressed the same way, so to speak. They were just average people. And yet the Holy Spirit worked in and through them. Another aspect of speaking in tongues comes a couple of chapters after the text that we've been reading. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, so just a couple of chapters later in the same book. Let me read this to you. chapter 14, verse 2. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. A few verses after that, Paul says this in 14:14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So this is another aspect of praying in tongues. And this little couple verses help us to understand the idea of a private prayer language in tongues. Not one that is shared with other people. Not one that is given at a public event. Not one that is meant to be a presentation of the gospel. But a private prayer language in tongues. All right? We need to understand that speaking in tongues can be both public and private. What we're talking about right here, right now, is the private side of that. When you pray personally, when you spend time with just you and the Lord, and you're praying and seeking the Lord, that's what we're talking about here. God sometimes gives you words that are not of yourself. They are not words you would typically utter. But it's your spirit in communication with the Holy Spirit, talking with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit allows us to pray in a way that is deeper, more intimate, more personal with God. Prayer is a conversation to begin with, all right? It's a two-way conversation. You're talking to God. Not any different than you would have a conversation with your spouse or your friend or your neighbor or your mom or your siblings. It's, hey, you know, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm dealing with. You know, what can you tell me? What can you show me? How can you teach me? And often your peers would jump in and say, well, you know, did you think about this? Did you consider this? That's really what prayer is like. It's just talking with God, having a conversation with Him. And then allowing Him to speak to us, which is the part we often forget. We get so busy talking, we forget to wait and listen, which is a very important part of the conversation, right? Speaking in tongues can be a part of that private prayer time. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, helping us to speak in words that we wouldn't typically come together with. to have that intimate time with God. All right, now that we've got those couple of things understood clearly, right, and put together, let's look at one of the major points that Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is the text we started with today. Remember, first of all, he wrote this letter to the church in Corinth to correct their errant thinking. The church in Corinth was making some dumb decisions, doing some dumb things, and they needed some correction. They were trying to turn spiritual gifts into a competition. They were trying to debate which gift is better than the next gift. Who's more important because they're operating in what gift? That's what they were trying to do. And in some way, they were trying to control those gifts. But we know clearly from our text, the Holy Spirit is in control of those gifts. And the Holy Spirit gives them as He so sees fit. Now, every one of us, at some point in our Christian walk, in our life as saved individuals, should function in some gift of some sort. Some of us may function in multiple gifts. Some of us may function all the time. Some of us may only function once. But all of us should function in a gift at some point in our lives. Not by our direction, not by our might, not by our control, but as the Holy Spirit enables us and as we obediently follow the Holy Spirit and His leading. Now, Paul started this conversation helping Corinth to understand where they were misapplying things. And he was telling them, basically, listen, things aren't the way you think they are. Let me help you better understand what this is all about so you're not fighting about this stuff inappropriately. So those first 11 verses that we read was about Paul trying to bring some clarity to this whole conversation. And then he goes on, the next section of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, if you're looking at your Bible or your app, it's going to say something about one body, many parts. That's where Paul goes on to talk about how we all come together with these spiritual gifts to function as a whole. This person's doing this, this person's doing this, this person's doing this, these people, so on and so forth. But together, they all come united and function as one, as the church is supposed to function. He gives great detailed description in there. Read it at some point if you have not, because it very clearly talks about how we as the body of Christ are many parts, but we come together as one. And it's important for all of those gifts to function as they're supposed to so that we can operate as one as we were designed to. So he talks about all that stuff, the gifts, the many parts but one body. And then in 1 Corinthians 14 again, verse 5, he clarifies his message about tongues as it relates to the church. 14:5 says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so the church can be edified. All right, we got to be careful here because it would almost appear that Paul was ranking the gifts. He's not. He's trying to bring clarity to something. Paul is very clearly through Scripture telling us that when the church comes together and spiritual gifts are functioning, they always, always, always should edify one another. So as we're together as a church, I'm not going to operate in a spiritual gift that benefits me. All right? God's going to use me or someone to benefit us as a whole, to edify us as a whole, the entire group of people. That's what Paul's trying to help us understand here. He says, if a person prophesies, spiritual gift, those words are, in our case, just plain English, okay? They're spoken, they're heard, they're received, there's nothing difficult about understanding them. But if in our group setting someone speaks in tongues, those are not words most of us are going to understand. Most of us are going to be confused as to what just was said. So there has to be an interpretation of those tongues. That's that second spiritual gift today. There's speaking in tongues, there's the interpretation of tongues. And as a church, if tongues is spoken in a church setting, then it has to be followed by the interpretation of those tongues or those foreign words, so to speak, that were just uttered. The spiritual gifts within the church will always edify everyone. So if tongues are spoken and there is no interpretation, then how can we be edified? How can we be built up? How can we be encouraged if we don't know what was said? So in a church setting, when believers are together, where there is tongues, there must be an interpretation of those tongues as well. A little further down 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says something else. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation or a tongue or an interpretation. All of those must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at most should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Very clearly, very plainly spoken, that in the church setting, when tongues are uttered publicly, there must be an interpretation. If there is not, then that message may have just been one of those private times of prayer between you and the Lord. There is, I'm going to say, one tiny little exception to that, and be careful. Tiny little exception. Sometimes God will give somebody a word to speak in tongues in the church and they will speak it. He will also give someone an interpretation in tongues and they will disobey and not speak. There is that possibility. So we have to be very careful and very clear about that. All right? And the sad part about that is that means somebody disobeyed. Somebody did not listen. Somebody did not allow the Holy Spirit to work through them as He so chose. And that's something we need to understand. God is not going to force you to do something. We have to be willing individuals. God did not force us to accept what Jesus did on the cross for our salvation. He said, you need to believe this. You need to accept this. You need to confess this. But He's not going to force you to do it. We have a free will, and we have to choose to accept, choose to trust, choose to obey. When it comes to the spiritual gifts, it's the same thing. We have to be obedient and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. So in the church, if there is a message of tongues, there must be an interpretation as well. That interpretation can even be a confirmation to the individual who just spoke in tongues. If they're unsure, if they just they wanted to be obedient, but okay, Lord, I pray this is you, and they speak out, that interpretation can be an encouraging word to the individual who just spoke in tongues. Think, okay, that was from you, Lord. There's the word, there's the interpretation. Thank you for using me. And at that point, when they both function together, the body is edified. Paul says something else regarding tongues. And this one again, 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 21. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the believers, not the unbelievers. If you're looking at your scripture today, not what's on the screen, but if you're looking at your text on your phone or whatever, you'll see in that section that I just read, Paul is actually quoting Isaiah. Those are not Paul's words that he just spoke. He's quoting Old Testament scripture from the book of Isaiah. This is one of those pieces we cannot tear all apart this morning, that it will be here forever. If you want to understand that more, you need to go back to Isaiah. You need to do a pretty comprehensive study through this section of Isaiah. But he's basically talking about, in this particular case, tongues being judgment on the unbelievers. So yet another aspect of tongues. Speaking in a language not studied, ministering the gospel message, a private prayer language, edifying believers in the church body, and in this section, evidence of judgment to the unbeliever. Again, it's laid out in Isaiah. Maybe somewhere, someday, we can do a study through that, but it would take time to dig all of that apart. So, by now, you should certainly understand the complications that go into this particular spiritual gift. This is not one that we were just going to easily walk through this morning and say, oh, got it, great, let's go. This is one that's deep. This is one that's challenging to many of us. There's so much to digest here. The crazy thing about this is you would think that Scripture is just filled with speaking in tongues and the information about speaking in tongues, right? No. It's found in Acts and 1 Corinthians. That's the only two places speaking in tongues is talked about. With so much debatable information, so many opinions, so much discussion, so many people, you know, trying to make different issues out of it, it's found in two spots in Scripture. So there's a lot to digest in those two sections of Scripture when it comes to speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues or foreign languages, dialects, as we said earlier on. And a lot of the 1 Corinthians, Paul was using to help others understand the importance of spiritual gifts. So there is a lot if you really want to dig into this. But this is something I want us all to know this morning. Tongues and the interpretation of tongues is still very active and a part of the church today as it ever has been. All right? This is the same spiritual gift as all the other gifts that still function and move and are there for the Holy Spirit to use as He so chooses today in 2024, just as they were in year 10 or 12 or 18. The Holy Spirit given gifts have not ceased. They were not just for a particular group of people or a particular time frame. They are very much for today. The Holy Spirit will use you and I today as He sees fit to speak in tongues and to interpret those tongues. There are many people, many, many, many people that will question that statement that I just made. But the bigger issue And the whole thing isn't really so much questioning as it is disobeying. Because if we're not willing to be obedient and surrender to the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of things we're going to miss out on. A lot of things we're going to miss. Not just tongue and interpretation of tongues, but if we're not obedient to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives, through our lives, we will miss out on a whole lot of stuff that God has in store for us. The Holy Spirit controls the spiritual gifts, and He's looking for obedient people to work in and work through. As I was preparing for this, the question ran through my head, and there's no way of answering this. It's really a rhetorical question. We can't possibly know the answer. But I wonder, even in our small group environment here, how many times has God wanted to speak in tongues, but the person He wanted to work through wouldn't allow Him to? In other words, was disobedient. Just said, I'm not saying that. I'm not doing that. That's too weird. People will think I'm crazy. People will think I've lost my mind. How many times has God wanted to speak, and yet we stopped Him, so to speak? We held Him back. I personally have spoken in tongues. The Lord has used me in that way. He has gifted me in that way. In my private prayer life, in a public setting, God has allowed me to speak in tongues. And I'm going to be very honest with all of you this morning as you consider this. It was scary. It was scary. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and He begins to well up in you, that's a feeling like I cannot explain. That's a feeling like I've never, ever, ever experienced before. When the Holy Spirit began to work in me at those times, my immediate prayer was, Lord, if this is You, speak. Take control of my tongue. Use me to say what You want to say. Help me to be obedient to Your leading. I'm not going to lie, it's scary. But God gives us the strength we need to continue to move forward and to allow Him to do what He wants to do through us. By surrendering to the Holy Spirit, He can edify other people. He can minister to other people. Inevitably, the times that I have been used to speak in tongues, the interpretation followed, which encouraged me, as I mentioned earlier. It spoke to me clearly. But that interpretation then, in turn, spoke to everybody else that was gathered together in that setting. It's amazing to me how many of the spiritual gifts we have already and we will continue to walk through that we're all okay with. We have no problem with them. They don't bother us at all. We think they're great, they're cool, they're neat. But tongues? Whoa. Hold on. Tongues brings up a whole different set of troubles for us, a whole different set of feelings for us. I mean, even as I prepared for today, I tried to, Lord, how do I share this without creating more confusion? How do I share this and clearly talk about what Scripture says? Lord, how do I lay this out? Because there's so many opinions out there regarding tongues and speaking in tongues. So many assumptions people make that we have to try to dig through to understand. Well, I want us to know this morning. One thing remains true always. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. His Word does not change, and it is without error. So if we're trusting in our God, who doesn't change, if we're trusting in His Word, which is without error, then we have to study that Word, pray, and listen to our God as He teaches us, as He gives us wisdom, as He helps us to mature, so that we can understand better these gifts that He has in store for us. It's our task to obey. When, where, how we are to be used, that's all in God's hands. He gets to direct that. Our job is very simple. Obey. Obey. Not play 20 questions or doubt or lack faith in ourselves. Our job is simply obey. And let God do the rest. So I challenge you, as scary as it might be, if when God calls you to speak in tongues, open your mouths and let the words flow that He gives you. Whether you understand them or not, whether they make sense to you or not, if God is behind it, it will all come together as it is supposed to. You will speak and tell someone the gospel message in a language you've never studied. You will edify your brothers and sisters, or if it's you by yourself, your spirit will be in deeper communication with the Holy Spirit Himself. If God begins to move in your life, let Him. Let Him. Lord, I thank You for the gifts that You have poured out on each and every one of us. Lord, this one in particular is hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to fathom. It's hard for us to trust in the idea of tongues and interpretation. Lord, I pray that You would help us to do just that. Lord, that we would stop doubting and start obeying. That we would stop questioning and start listening. God, that You would work in us and through us as You so desire. Lord, help us to be obedient to You and You alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
We do worship You today, and God, we thank You for this word. God, we pray, Jesus, that we would study Your word, draw closer to You, and gain wisdom and understanding of all that You have to share with us, God. Be with us this day as we press on and press forward.